ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 24. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. There was a survey done, and they found that only about 6% of all Americans have got anything close to a worldview that's biblical. Most people don't know their Bibles. They don't care to know their Bibles. They don't see the importance of knowing their Bibles. May I say to you, if you don't know your Bible, you need to give Jesus some time. He wants to talk to you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to make His Word come to you in your life, personally, where you are. When I preach the Word, I bring to you words that I've already processed, digested, and I'm almost like giving you the milk of the Word because I'm pulling out stuff that has impacted me. But what you have is a different set of circumstances. And when you're reading the Word, God can amplify things that you need for you. Right now, right there where you are. So spend some time with Jesus. Just get into practice. Give Him 15 minutes. And if it bleeds into a half an hour, 45 minutes, praise God. But give Him 15 minutes a day of clear focus where you're reading His Word. And you're going to get a little quiet. You're going to get really calmed down. You're going to ask quickly, God, please help get my mind on You. And I'm going to read right now. And you don't have to read from Genesis to Revelation. Take some time. Find the Psalms. Read them. They're digestible. And then go into the Gospels. If you're early in this, it's been a long time, you know, get back in the Gospels. Go in and find Jesus. Spend time with Him. And then after a while, go into the New Testament epistles and eventually go back and pick up some of the books of the Old Testament, but get quickly back to the New. I'm trying to show you that what we have is an illiterate kind of a situation here. And we're more prone to forget because we never knew. And right now is not a time to not know, because the world is coming to its conclusion as far as the church age is concerned. And that means that we need to know what's going on, because otherwise you will be in the depths of despair, potentially. Those suicide hotlines blew up last year. It's not that all these people were committing suicide, but they were in despair and they were blowing up the lines and they were calling people. And yes, the numbers of suicides did go up. But my point is that we need to recognize that this is not when we call somebody on the other end of a call that we don't even know. We need to call on Jesus. And that's what Milo did. And that's what that one nurse that was an atheist, liberal nurse, who got saved, got conservative, and begins to testify and begins to blow the whistle on what's going on behind the curtain here. You and I are living in a time where everything is becoming relative. In other words, there's no absolute truth. There's no absolute right and wrong. Probably the thing that's taken the worst hammering in these past 2 years is science. Because they're not answering your questions, they're just telling you what it is. And it's not science, it's scientists. And we're living in a time like that. So you need your Bible, you need to know, because this is what will give you a tether. It's what will get you past the 3 days. Because these people were despondent. And they took time on the Sabbath. And this morning, they're coming and they're ready to take care of the situation for Jesus. And the Bible says they were afraid. They bowed down their faces. And these men said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee? Now, He's talking to the ladies. This is how we know this is part of the entourage right away. It was said in the last chapter, but it'll be said again here. But He says, "You were in Galilee. You heard." And the reason He has to reach back to Galilee is because He's been saying it even before things got goofy. Do you know Jesus said it was going to be like this before it got like this on our earth right now? He told us about a mark. He told us about a one world government. He told us all this stuff. And He told us about great deception. He told us about a great falling away. And He told us when it was calm. And now that it's happening, we shouldn't be panicking and we shouldn't be despairing and we shouldn't be weeping over it except to sigh and cry, because it's hard to watch this thing die. We've had a love affair with America, and rightfully so. America's been amazing. And none of us, I think, would be able to contradict what I'm about to say. We didn't realize how good it was as we do now, because we see in contrast to what they're doing. It's like watching somebody choke out something. Like, you know, it's just scary. It's scary. It's like distressful. But the fact is that we were never supposed to be having a love affair with this world. And we do have that tendency. And it does have its allure. And we have to recognize part of that is our carnality. But part of it was just amazing. And especially if you amplified all of the good stuff, you could really be infatuated by this world with what we came from and how it was formed and how the founders did things and how our constitution was. All these things were amazing. And now they're tearing down statues and doing all the things that they do to sort of bring it to heel. Well, the Bible tells us that these angels said to them, Jesus told you when he was in Galilee that he was going to rise, saying that the Son of Man, verse 7, must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again. Now, it's very important for us to recognize what's going on here. These angels are telling them what they already knew. And the hub of it was that he would suffer. He would be delivered into the hands of sinful men. He would be crucified. There was no question about this. And if you go back and you find the places where Jesus was telling them this was going to happen, immediately in the passages you will find them chasing a butterfly. They don't want to hear this. They don't want to hear this. Do you know we're in a world where we heap to ourselves teachers having itching ears, not willing to endure the truth. And that's among Christendom today, as Christendom stands. We like to find the smooth word. We like to find the easy answer. We like to have a best day now. We like to have a life that was going to be prosperous and happy. And sometimes we'll come up even in churches that are more evangelical and solid, and they'll give you 5 ways to stay young. I actually heard a preacher who was like 95, and he looked like he was 95. And he was preaching, and he's telling you how to stay young. I'm like, okay. And I thought, this is a waste of time for whoever that congregation was on that morning. Because that's not what Jesus wants us to know, how to stay young. He wants us to stay holy. That might have been a thing, how to stay holy. Give me 5 ways to stay holy or be holy. But what we're having here is Jesus has got a central message that had to be telegraphed right here, because this was the cusp of the church age. This was the linchpin. This was the cornerstone. This was the thing that everything else was going to proceed from. That he would go in, be delivered over by sinful men, he would be crucified, and he would rise again. You will find if you go through the book of Acts that the words resurrection and rise again and rose again and all about the resurrection, it's over and over again amplified, because that made all the difference in the world. What he did was he split time by not only dying for our sins, but raising himself up from the dead. That's what he did. No other prophet of yore was able to even come close. All of the gods of any other pagan religion all fell short because they can't do this. Jesus was the one who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And therefore, God himself has also highly exalted him, not only from the grave, but exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. And so these angels are telegraphing a message that was actually crucial to everything that was going to happen from here on out. And the Bible says, when they told them this, verse 8, it says, they remembered his words. What do you need to know now? What do you need to know now? Well, you need to know this. This is foundational. But you also need to know that Jesus is coming again. You need to know that there's going to be a day when the rapture happens and people are going to be in terrible panic and they're going to recognize that they missed the whole point of what Christianity was about. They began to lay off on Christian people the charges of what the world had framed in their minds. They began to dismiss the pulpit, dismiss the Bible, dismiss everything Christ honoring, and they began to go against everything Christ honoring. And they began to drink that Kool-Aid, as it were, and now they're going to find themselves left behind. Now, the thing you need to realize about that is, just like with Milo and the nurse I told you about, is that there are going to be people like that that you know, and you know they're going to be left behind. And you have to be praying for them now. You have to be preparing for them now. You have to be reaching to them now. You have to go to them and maybe give them a booklet and tell them, listen, I'm really concerned. And you can even tell them to kind of transfer from, hey, things are getting goofy. You can tell them, one world government, it's global today, right? Global, we all see it. What about this chip? What about these different places that have Switzerland, this place of Sweden, they have the mark, you know, and they're going through doors. It's not a mark of the beast, but it's a open their door with a thing in their hand. They can do all their purchasing. Cashless. We're there. And just kind of make your appeal. And don't be ashamed. You know, it's kind of funny how the devil gets us ashamed. We're like, well, I'm not going to say anything. I wouldn't know what to say. No, go out there and fumble all over yourself. That's genuine. They know that. I mean, if you don't get all the words right, that's okay. If people realize you're really worried about them, they'll take a sense of compassion on even what you're trying to tell them. Okay? And if that's all you got, use it. Because that's what God can use. He can use our weakness. In our weakness, he's made strong. Just go, 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 go. Tell somebody. This is their story. Their story is they were the first ones to get a word from the heavenlies that Jesus is risen. And they were the first ones to remember these women The first ones on the scene, up first thing. A man's work is from sun to sun. A woman's work is never done. They're up. They're there. Many of you rise early and read your Bibles, and your children saw you do it. Many of you sing little songs when you're working around the house, and your kids have fed on that through their childhood. That's great. That's perfect. That's great. Because we need that programming in those kids to know that something is inside mama that is at peace. You say, Dada too. What about Daddy? Yeah, Daddy too. But women are workers. They seem very busy all the time. Very busy. And so when they're at peace in the midst of their busyness, that's a testimony, isn't it? Men know how to turn the switch off in their brain. What are you thinking about, honey? Nothing. Nah, you can't be possibly not talking. You can't be thinking about nothing. Nope, nothing. Nothing. Women are like, that is not even an impossibility. How can you be talking and thinking about nothing? This is a humorous difference. But the beauty of the passage is the women were the first ones there, and that's typical. They're the first ones to be chasing that thread. They didn't look for him properly. They didn't know what they were coming for, but guess what? They showed up and he revealed what was going on to them. And if you know what's going on, you won't be as afraid. If you had a drone and you had gangs in your community, and you had a drone that could go up and say, all the gang is over here, and you had to go down to the market to get some milk, and you knew it was scary to walk down, but that's all you could do, you'd be glad you had the drone telling you they're there, because you could walk down here with a lot more confidence. If we know what's coming, and if we know where the things are, if we know where the landmarks are, we will be encouraged. We will be able to be strengthened. We will be able to enjoy what God's doing, because we are at the cusp of the rapture and the tribulation period. And so therefore, I would say to you, God would not have us to be a people who are scared, but a people who are prepared. And He wants us to remember. And the Bible says, and they remembered His words, Jesus' words, verse 8. And in verse 9 it says, and they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And the Bible says, and it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, which is probably his aunt. And the Bible says, other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. So we've seen the women coming, and they get a word. It's nice to get a word. Women coming. And then the Bible says, interestingly enough, because this is a very small glimpse of what happened. We have the other Gospels. We get a little more. No mention of John is mentioned here, but notice what happens. It says in verse 11, their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Do you know how many people think that the rapture seems like idle tales? Where does this come from? It reminds us of Lot, who's saying Sodom is going to be destroyed, and Lot seemed as one who mocked. Like he was making a joke. We're not making a joke. You see, this is not a conspiracy theory. The grave was evacuated 2,000 years ago by a man who raised himself from the dead and said, I'm coming back, and I'm going to get you. And the Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive at that time are going to be raised up together with them, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And when He comes back in chapter 19 of Revelation, we will be with Him, because the Bible says the armies of the Lord came back. And in Jude, it talks about 10,000 times 10,000 saints coming with it. It's just, we're coming back with Jesus. This is not that bad right now, okay? Can you take a little bit of an achy back from walking too much? I mean, it's okay. Enjoy the ride, because you're going to tell about it for eternity. These women will have a story that will be only theirs. They showed up. They were there. They were looking for Jesus. And they loved Him. They watched Him from afar. They came. They saw where He was laid. And they saw how things were handled. And they thought, we need to make it a little better. Jesus is deserving of that. Listen, you want to make your house a little better. He's deserving of that.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.